Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, Lamar Jackson is off of the COVID list in Baltimore. He got to practice. Now, I got to believe this is the first guy in the NFL to have COVID, be on the COVID list, get off the COVID list, finish out the season, start the next season, get COVID, be on the COVID list.
Get off the COVID list.
And now be off the COVID list. So congratulations to Lamar. But obviously, COVID is no joking matter. And I think even the people that are anti-vaccine or that don't like masks or anything like that, I think even they would say that COVID is real and is, you know, legitimate and is an issue. And the NFL has done all they can to bully players into getting the vaccine. That has been well documented. Ryan Tannehill, I believe, is probably the poster child around the league of guys that really didn't want to get in it, didn't want to get it, didn't really believe in it. But they went ahead and got it just because they feel like in order to be around their team and it's in the best interest of the team and it's, and we've talked about this how many times?
Ad nauseum.
How, whether or not COVID is fair game for people to discuss your decision about your vaccine, whether or not it is fair game in the sports arena to discuss it. So Lamar Jackson got COVID a second time, had symptoms a second time. Let me say this, and I don't know anything about this Delta variant as far as what the symptoms are. I had it. I think I got that UK strand, like the second variant, you know, not the original thing that came out in last year, but it, like towards the end of last year when they said, oh my God, there's this strand from London that is just, you know, way worse than the first one. And I think I got that. And while it did, it wasn't the end of the world of my life or anything like that, and I took it very seriously, and I followed the instructions of my doctor as soon as I thought I had it, and I, you know, followed those instructions and did what I was told and whatever. I mean, I don't want to get it again, and I definitely don't want to die from it, and I definitely think there's a chance if I did get it again, and if it is more powerful than it once was, that I could, in fact, die from it. I mean, I'm in decent health, but I'm not perfect. And everybody's got some sort of comorbidity. Everybody's got something. And so I don't, the idea of, and Lamar's a healthy guy. And so Lamar gets it. So Lamar gets back and Lamar gets asked about getting the vaccine. And Lamar goes right down the route of what people who aren't going to get it, but don't want to talk to you about it, always say. Here's what Lamar Jackson said.
You know, I feel it's a personal decision. You know, I'm just going to worry about that with my family, you know, keep my feelings to my family and myself. I'm focused on getting better right now. You know, I can't dwell on that right now, how everybody else feels. Just trying to get back in a great routine.
Okay. And then Lamar said that, you know, trying to show that he's a team player, said that he's going to talk to the team about this decision.
I just got off the COVID list. You know, I got to talk to my team doctors and, you know, try to see how they feel about it, you know, keep learning as much as I can about it, and we'll go from there.
Okay, I'm going to tell you this. I know what the team's going to say. Like, I know what, if you go to the team doctor and you ask the team doctor, should I get this vaccine? I know what the team doctor's going to say.
Of course they're going to say get it.
I know what the coach is going to say. I know what the general manager's going to say. I know what the team president's going to say. I know what the NFLPA medical director is going to say. I know what the CMO of the NFL is going to say. I know what they're all going to say. What do we think about Lamar Jackson not wanting to get the vaccine or not, you know, saying, look, I've gotten this thing twice. It sucks. I'm going to get the vaccine so that I don't get sicker or so that this doesn't happen to me again. What do we make of Lamar not doing that? What do we make of Lamar saying it's a personal decision? Because a lot of people are saying it's a personal medical decision and you shouldn't have the right to be able to criticize somebody over their medical decision. And what do we make about the fact that he's had it twice and is still not willing to get it? And the only reason I bring that part up is because I would say that if somebody's getting this, they know it's real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, you know, Montez Sweat, who said, well, I haven't gotten it yet, so I'll deal with it when I get it. Lamar's had it twice. He knows it's real. He lost his taste and smell. He's been through this twice, and he's still not going to get it. So that is concerning, because there's a lot of people in America who think like this. And I wonder what is in bounds, what is out of bounds, because we criticized Kirk Cousins last week, and I stand by my criticism there. And I don't really understand how Lamar Jackson, and I know a lot of people who know Lamar because he went to Louisville and I went to Louisville, and they say Lamar's a smart guy, and I don't know how Lamar got to this conclusion.
Well, and you know, Lamar says this is a personal decision. Yeah, it is. A lot of things are personal decisions.
Yes.
But, and I also go back to the fact that, you know, Dak Prescott saying it's a HIPAA violation.
Which is not.
Which it is not. That is not what HIPAA means. But also, in that same breath, then is us knowing about Bud Dupree's ACL tear. Is that not a HIPAA violation? A.J. Brown may or may not have a little bit of a knee issue going on right now. Is that a HIPAA violation? So there are a lot of things that I feel like are pretty personal decisions and pretty personal information that becomes national news when you are a professional athlete. So yes, while Lamar Jackson is correct, this very much so is a personal decision. However, not every person is an NFL quarterback, and not every person has these rules and regulations on them when it comes to their job. And Lamar Jackson does. And Lamar Jackson's
life
job
is a two-way street, and Lamar Jackson's about to make $44 million a year doing it.
And it is not his right to make $44 million playing quarterback in the NFL. That is not your right. You can do that when you earn that. And we are in a certain situation, we are in a certain circumstance where the best possible thing that you can do for yourself, for your team, is to get vaccinated. And I also had COVID. It sucked. I couldn't smell for months. So it's shocking to me that Lamar Jackson would rather get COVID, risk getting COVID for a third time rather than get vaccinated. I think that also speaks volumes about the amount of apprehension that he has about the vaccine. But I mean, when you're looking at your options are get the vaccine, give your team the best possible chance to win versus not getting the vaccine, going through all these rules and regulations, jumping through hoops and possibly putting your team in a bad situation down the line. Those are your two options. On the surface, that's really, those are your two options.
So I think every decision you make is a personal choice. And when you're famous, those personal choices and personal lives become publicized. Like, that's what being famous is. And there are some people that don't like it and have to step away and they can't handle it. Do you want to do that? Or do you want to be the starting quarterback? And I would say this. I mean, I'm embarrassed. Like, I'm embarrassed as somebody who went to Louisville, the same college Lamar went to. I'm embarrassed to hear this stance on COVID vaccinations from somebody who's had it twice. It's one thing for somebody to say, well, you know, the math says that even if I get it, I will do it. But once you get it, you realize, like, man, this thing is real. This thing has serious effects. This thing is... Think about Phil Valentine. Conservative talk show host here in town. Phil Valentine, for months and months and months, downplayed COVID, downplayed vaccines. I saw his family release a statement in which they said that he wasn't an anti-vaxxer. I mean, there are receipts about these things. If he wasn't, he's pretty damn close. And now Phil Valentine's whole thing was he's 61. He felt like he was in shape. And that even if he got COVID, he'd be fine and he'd survive it. And even after he got COVID, he posted some messages, kind of downplaying it or talking about being fine or whatever. And I mean, I pray that Phil Valentine's going to be okay. But it doesn't look very good right now. It sounds awful when I hear these stories about Phil Valentine. And I'm like, so there's a lot of people that don't get it. And then all of a sudden, they wish, like Phil Valentine wishes he had gotten that vaccine, they wish it had happened. I wonder if Lamar having defeated it twice kind of gives him this sense of, well, I don't trust the vaccine, but I know I've beaten COVID twice, so why not try to beat it a third time? But even that decision, I think that decision is just wildly reckless. And I will say this, I mean, I think there has to be some criticizing of this. Like, you can't just let him say that and say, I'll talk to my team. We already know what the team's going to tell you. It's a personal decision. Every decision makes a personal decision. when Lamar Jackson took a video on Instagram or Twitter or whatever app it was of him driving a car 100 plus miles an hour. So as he's driving a car, he's taking a video and then went out and apologized about the fact that he was doing that and how reckless that behavior was. That's personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking and driving is a personal choice.
It's not a good one.
No,
but that's
it's a personal choice. Not getting the vaccine is not a good choice, but it is a choice.
Whether I feel like showering in the morning is a personal choice, but I usually tend to because it's gross if I don't.
Now, the one thing I will say, and it's hard for me to compartmentalize this mentally because I'm white, but the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, which I believe was like in the 40s, the 30s, the 50s, and I think it came out, I think it got exposed of what the government was doing in the 70s, that has scared, from what I've been told, a lot of people in the African-American community. And I understand why. But you got the best experts in the most popular sport in the biggest entertainment country in the world. Like, you got the number one doctors that are talking to you, telling you they're getting the shots. And I hear Lamar Jackson's comments, and I have a hard time processing it because I do think it's kind of selfish for the team. I think it's kind of selfish, and I just think it's so ill-informed, and it's so, and I know there's a lot of people that don't believe in the vaccine, and they get mad whenever you tell somebody they should do something. Like, if we had a Skittle mandate where they were like, everybody needs to eat 2 Skittles a day. Now, there is no benefit to eating 2 Skittles a day, but if there was a Skittle mandate, people would be against it because they don't want to be told what to do, and I get it. So I understand how other people feel. I think some of the things that people say are like well out there. I think it's obvious that the deaths, that the COVID-related deaths in these hospitals that are piling up, I think Tennessee is like over 13,000% in the last, like since July 4th in terms of the hospitalizations. The hospitalizations and the deaths are primarily unvaccinated people. Like I look at that. And I think to myself, man, and it's still not getting through to Lamar Jackson. And he's got a coach I think he probably trusts, and he's got an organization I think he trusts, and an owner I think he trusts, and Steve Bisciotti. I mean, Derek Mason used to tell me all the time how much he loves Steve Bisciotti. He's got doctors and trainers. You break your arm, don't you listen to the trainer? Don't you listen to the doctor? And he's still not getting it. And that, I just find that to be so concerning.
But at this point, do you think there's going to be anything that changes his mind? Because I don't think that it is.
I mean,
I think his mind is made up and there is nothing that will change it. Unless the Ravens get into a situation, a bad situation down the road where they're having to forfeit 1, 2, 3 games in a row because Lamar continues to get COVID. I think that will maybe be a trigger. But until then, I don't think there's anything that is going to change his mind.
Or gets exposed, because the exposure time for somebody who has not been vaccinated.
14 days.
Is, I think in the NFL, I think it's 10 days or 5 days or something, whereas it's only 2 days with negative tests if you have been vaccinated in the NFL.
Okay.
615-737-1025, your reaction to Lamar Jackson's comments after getting it a second time. Goodness. 615-737-1025, we're live from the Whole Stomach Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll go to your reaction. And plus, does it make you a bad teammate? I mean, if you want to go out and party all night, that personal decision. But that would make you a bad teammate. Does not getting this shot make you a bad teammate? 615-737-1025. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming The Game Nashville app.
I want to inspire the kids. You know, I want to inspire the community. But, you know, at the same time, things going to come at you. People going to feel however they want to feel about certain situations. And, you know, you just got to go however you want to go about it, you know. So, you're going to see.
That was Lamar Jackson. I don't think I feel bad, you know, for the scrutiny that will come for a player of that caliber who won't get vaccinated. You know, and Dak did the whole, you know, it's HIPAA thing, which it's just not HIPAA.
It's not HIPAA.
Like, that's not, I was explaining to one of my friends who's a lot younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
I was explaining to her about how HIPAA works. And I was like, basically, you know, when you go to the doctors, insurance pays for that. And when insurance pays for that, they have to know what happened. They're just not allowed to tell people. And there's a lot of different other things that are in there as well. But that's a violation of your HIPAA rights. The idea of, hey, do you have a sore throat today? That's not a HIPAA violation. But I do wonder, about the Lamar thing, because I'm going through like The Athletic, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, okay, this is like a big story. There's one headline at The Athletic about this. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, this was yesterday, noncommittal about vaccine, says he's not worried about future issues. Like, shouldn't there be more columns about that? Shouldn't there be more to it? Like, I don't know. They write, quote, even if Jackson is now immune from the virus for a period of time because he just had it, he's at risk for having to be away from the team for 5 days if he's deemed a close contact to a teammate who tests positive. If he was vaccinated, he wouldn't miss any time as long as he produces a negative test. The league has made clear this season that a team will be at risk of having to forfeit if it has a COVID-19 outbreak spurred by breaches of protocol and or unvaccinated players. Since the moment he became a Raven, Jackson has talked about nothing more than his desire to win a Super Bowl. He's downplayed his personal achievements, such as becoming the second unanimous MVP in league history, in favor of team ones. With that, he was asked Monday about whether competitive considerations could impact his decision to get vaccinated. We know what Jackson said. Jackson spent nearly half of a 9-minute session with the media following Monday's practice fielding COVID-related questions. He spoke animatedly at different points, like when he was asked his reaction when he tested positive. And Jackson said he was heartbroken and he wasn't looking forward to it right before camp when he got vaccinated. But I don't know. I don't know if you're able to say, like, it makes you a bad teammate if you don't get it. I understand people don't want to get it. But I think, you know, when it comes to football, that's a high-profile job. And when your coach tells you to do something and your trainers and doctors and when everybody tells you to do something and you don't do it and it hurts the team, which missing the first 10 days of practice will hurt your football team, I think it kind of makes you – I don't want to say it makes you a bad teammate because – But I mean, if Dennis Rodman goes out and parties all night and doesn't show up for the game on time, he's a bad teammate. That's a personal decision.
I don't know if I'm willing to say he's a bad teammate. I think I can say that's a bad decision for the team. I think that you're using poor judgment on behalf of your team. But to call someone a bad teammate, I think that a lot of bad decisions need to accumulate into that. I think overall, Lamar Jackson is a team guy.
So, like, I was embarrassed with the NC State coach when they, because this was the first team that really got, you know, just, and I have sympathy for NC State, but I mean, they were the first team that just got porked by the Delta variant.
Yeah.
I mean, the Delta variant just absolutely wiped them out. And I think they would have had a chance to win the national championship.
I do too.
And so I do feel bad, but I was embarrassed by the coach getting up there saying things like, I'm not here to talk about politics. Well, health is not political. And one president took credit for the vaccine and the other is begging you to get it. So of two men that don't agree on anything, they agree on that. So I don't know where the line is. Let's go to your phones. This should be interesting. Phone lines are delivered by or driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sean is up next. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Jared. I got a couple questions I'd like for you to answer first. Number one, if someone gets the vaccination, can they then contract COVID after they get a vaccination? Is that possible?
Correct.
Okay. Is it possible for a person who's been vaccinated to carry the virus?
Yes.
Okay. Then what is the big deal about forcing people to get vaccinated? I don't see the benefit to that.
So I think there's two things here. And I'm going to use... Sean, I'm going to use Phil Valentine as the example here. You're familiar with Phil Valentine, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the vaccine, and this is the case with, first of all, nothing is 100% in anything. You know, like no medicine is 100%. You can have, and I appreciate your call, Sean. You can have a fever, take a Tylenol, and it not lower your fever.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing in medicine is 100%. And I'm not a doctor. So when I get asked questions that are like, I'm not a doctor, but use Phil Valentine as the example here. The key to the vaccine, and when this vaccine was made, it wasn't made to absolutely keep you from getting the virus. Now, the strain of virus at the time, it did keep you from getting, and it did keep you from transmitting. But the big key with this is it keeps you from dying. And I go back to Phil Valentine, and I read the other day, and I think they really haven't given a couple of updates in a while on him. And I am very very in tune with what's going on with him. I mean, you're talking about a talk radio, I would say, icon in Nashville, but, you know, a guy who has been doing it for a long, long time. And while I don't agree with everything Phil Valentine says, in fact, I don't agree with a lot of what Phil Valentine says, I mean, what's happened to him is tragic. But the key is that that vaccine keeps you from being in that situation. It keeps you from a grave illness. And that's the key to this. And the second part I'll say is there are a lot of people that are, you know, mad at the NFL for making the rules the way the NFL makes the rules. Well, I don't like the fact that if the ball bounces out of the back of the end zone, the other team gets it at the 20-yard line. I hate that rule. But I know that if Anthony Firkser fumbles the football out of the back of the end zone, it's going to be Jaguar ball at the Jacksonville 20. So you may not like the rules that the NFL has put out. You may look at it and say, well, I don't understand what the point of getting the vaccine is if I'm not sure what that point is, if you can get it or if you can carry it, even if you've already got the vaccine. What's the point? And to that, I would say that those are the league rules. So if Lamar is exposed, and what we know of COVID, Lamar can't be infected tomorrow. Like, that's what we know, right?
Correct.
If Lamar is exposed to somebody tomorrow who tests positive for COVID, he's out 5 days. If the Titans are playing the Ravens on a Sunday, and they don't play this year, but as we've seen the last couple of years, they always seem to find each other one way or another. If the Titans are playing the Ravens and Lamar is unvaccinated and Lamar Jackson goes and is exposed to somebody on Wednesday of a game week, he's out. That could be a playoff game. And the NCAA in baseball proved they don't care. Like, they don't care whether or not you got symptoms, don't this, that. There's no bending of the rules. The NFL's not going to bend the rules. So those are the rules. I didn't write them, but those are the rules. You may not like them, but like I said, I don't like the ball being fumbled out of the back of the end zone, put at the 20-yard line. I don't like it. James is up next. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, James.
When it comes to Phil Valentine, we have to make a caveat there that he had never had COVID and never got the vaccine. Therefore, he never had the antibodies. So what he's dealing with is an initial onset of COVID, which is, in his case, deadly because something didn't happen in his body to protect him. Now, when I got the COVID vaccine, because I've never had COVID, I was given the artificial antibodies that protected me from dying from COVID. When Lamar Jackson got COVID, he got the natural antibodies that keeps him from dying from COVID. He can get it again just like we can. He can spread it just like we can, but he can't die from it because he has the antibodies already.
So I don't think that Lamar having the antibodies from the first time he had it is why he didn't die this time. Though I'm not a doctor,
don't think the NFL cares about your natural antibodies. I think the NFL is going to say
the NFL's problem. Then it's no, it's not following the science,
which is also Lamar Jackson's problem. If like, it's the NFL's problem.
Yeah, the NFL is going to make the NFL's money. They're going to go on as a football league no matter what. If Lamar Jackson gets knocked out of a playoff game because he gets exposed to someone who doesn't have the vaccine, it's not Lamar. It's not the NFL's problem. Like, that's not – I get it. And I don't even – this is what I know. And, again, I'm not a doctor, but I listen to doctors. And I would implore that you listen to doctors too. I'm not a doctor. Caroline's not a doctor. Clay Travis is not a doctor. CNN is not a doctor. Fox News is not a doctor. Like, talk to a real doctor on this. But, I mean – I think that Lamar, having had it last year and getting it again this year, should be a red flag to players of like, whoa, whoa. Here's the thing I hate about stuff that's serious. And I'll liken this to when I take the boat out. When I take the boat out, one of the first things you learn when you have a boat, mm-hmm. and I don't have a boat, but I have a membership to a boat. But one of the first things you learn is when you're in charge of that boat, you, and look, you may be your friends and you want everybody to have a good time, but you better not let somebody do something stupid. You know, that's where you got to basically, you know, if you got to yell at somebody or you got to just, like, let them have it, you got to do it, because what you can't have is somebody fall off the boat and then all of a sudden, you know, die. And I hate when something has to happen and somebody has to die in order for there to be, like, a realization that this thing is real. 600,000 people have died of this. And it gets worse. And people love to go on television and spout off the numbers of, well, you know, there's only a one and whatever chance of everything you do in life, there is a chance that something bad will happen. But with most things, like seatbelts, we try to mitigate the possibility of dying from those things. And I understand people that are skeptical about being promised a miracle drug that was developed in, you know, essentially a year as far as clinical trials are concerned. But it's different when Lamar has the access to the experts that he has the access to. I mean, he trusts his life with these doctors and trainers. Every time an NFL player goes out on the field, they are risking their life because of how violent and vicious that game is. And so he trusts his doctors, but he won't listen to him on this. And that's where I guess I struggle with it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A doctor has texted me and said, using some very not doctorful language,
yes,
said, tell the caller who called that in natural immunity, that natural immunity is weaker than immunized immunity. So that is from a doctor.
Okay.
So the idea that Lamar's got natural immunity is that he's saying that that is not the same.
And I go back to my initial point of, if you want to talk about natural immunity and mRNA and spike 2, whatever it is, the NFL doesn't care. The NFL has made it very clear that these are the rules, whether you like them or not. So you can have natural immunity and you can this and that, whatever. The NFL doesn't care. And they make the rules very, very clear that this is what you can do when you're vaccinated. These are the restrictions that you may or may not have. These are restrictions that you do have when you are unvaccinated. That is when it comes down to it, take all of the politics away, take all of the mRNA spike proteins out of it, natural immunity out of it. This is what the NFL says, and that's what Lamar Jackson is dealing with, point blank.
We got a lot of text in the text line. So instead of just going through the text in the text line, just give me a summary. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Just give me a summary of what the text line is about.
In a nutshell, it's saying, shut up, Jared, you're stupid.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect anything.
Yeah.
No, more or less.
And that might be putting it nicely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Here's the thing. Right? Like, I don't know. I'm not a clinical psychologist. I don't know how to talk to people to get them to do things. I can't even get people in my own house to do things that I want them to do. I think everybody probably experiences that on like a certain level of like just trying to get people to do things, and how I'm not smart enough to figure that out, and I don't claim to be. I'm a talk radio host, talks about sports. I am surrounded by a lot of medical professionals in my life who are all telling me the same thing. I've talked to people in the NFL. I've talked to people in other sports. I've talked to doctors at your local hospitals that when you get sick, you go see them. I've talked to them. I mean, I think you would agree with me that I have a pretty direct line as far as Nashville medical consulting is concerned.
Yes.
I'm just relaying the message. And if one person hears it, like one person, and I don't know if anything that I've said on the radio would convince anybody to get this shot. I have no idea. But if one person hears it, we can have an audience of thousands. And we do. I mean, this is a very popular show. And if everybody tunes out, but the one person hears it, gets the shot, and lives because they got this shot, I'll be happy with myself. Like, to the crowd that's like, you just lost a listener. You just did this. You just did that. You.
There are a lot of people
crowd.
Saying that that you just lost a listener, and then they said you that like last week,
yeah.
And then the next day they're like, "So what about that defense?"
The text line is very, "You just lost a listener," and they need to trade Forsberg. This is not something.
It's like in a relationship when it's like, "Never talk to me again," and then they're like, "You up?" 2 hours later.
Yeah, it's essentially like that.
Yeah,
but. I mean, I think in life, it's about priorities. So if one person listened to this radio show and got shot, then it's all worth it to me. That's the way I approach it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We got more developments at Titans camp and Todd Downing. Todd Downing. By the way, I got caught on a hot mic.
The mic is always hot.
Did you hear it?
I didn't hear it, no.
Okay, so I didn't hear it either, but I know exactly what I said. I'll just address it next. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's tell all the fine folks out there, Sounds Baseball tonight. The Sounds are on the road at AAA Louisville, the affiliate of the Reds. Pregame show with Jeff Hym at 5:15. First pitch 5:30 on 94.9. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 is presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Stillman & Company. So I got hot mic today, and I don't think anybody heard it. And I don't think I said anything bad that anybody would care about, because I only heard about it because Elijah told me. Because he was recording the press conferences today from Titans camp.
The audio was pretty low. Low audio. You have to boost it pretty high to hear it.
Oh, so you've heard it.
I did hear it, yeah.
Okay. So I was talking about Todd Downing. So Todd Downing had a press conference, then Kevin Byard, then Shane Bowen. And I sometimes like to hold court, you know, when I'm gathered with the local press, especially considering that I didn't get to see the local press for so long because of all, you know, everything going on with COVID and everything else. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, like, you know, sometimes I got bones to pick and then I just let the bones be picked and whatever. I just kind of tell people what I think and say what I feel. And that's one of the things I love about my job. But so anyway, Todd Downing talked, and I gotta give Todd Downing credit. Because his energy at these press conferences, you were there today, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks excited to be there to answer questions.
Yeah. He sounds excited. He's animated.
And then you realize that in every question he's asked, he never says anything. I had Ian just pick out three random ones. Ian, go ahead and play one of those Todd Downings.
What about Josh Reynolds? What are some of the things you've seen him be able to do? Where would you say he is as far as like your evaluation of him?
Yeah, Josh is a seasoned vet. You know, he's been around a little while. He's been in a similar system out in L.A. And so I think, you know, he's going to, you know, acclimate pretty quickly when he's back out there and ready to go. And, you know, we'll just keep working with him in meeting rooms and getting as much done as we can with him until he's rip-roaring.
It's excited.
Yeah, he's great.
Complimentary.
He's a vet. We're going to get him out there. We're going to keep working.
But nothing that commits to him.
No.
Nothing that's we believe in him or we think he's going to be a big part of this offense. Or
you will see him out there week one.
Or he, nothing there. Okay, what about the second one, Ian?
Plays before, but it's been a while. So how much do you look forward to this first preseason game?
Yeah, I look forward to any chance of competing, whether it's out here calling plays and in the non-scripted periods, you know, or certainly these preseason games. It's a great opportunity for me to improve and for me to knock, you know, some rust off, you know, or to get into some situations that you really can't set up in practice. They just come about in game time. So I always look forward to opportunities to improve, and I know that I can and will and have multiple areas that I'll be able to hone that in.
Look at the self-deprecation. I take every day to get better, even practice. And I love the opportunity to get out there and, you know, get ready to call plays. And any opportunity to get better, I'm just fired up for. So I said to the group after the Todd Downing press conference, and no disrespect to Todd Downing, but he doesn't say anything. I mean, he truly says nothing of note, right?
Well, I think that's a common thread amongst most members of the Titans.
That is that's what leads me to what I said. So I turned around and I said, Vrabel will love this guy. Now, if Vrabel's watching these press conferences, he will love it because he is a BSer. He just gets up there and a big smile. And I've seen Todd Downing coach. And let me say this. I have no idea if the guy's any good or not. As far as play calling and all the things you all care about, I have no idea. But I've seen him yell at the players. I've seen him direct the players. I've seen him, when he feels like he needs to say something, he says it. When he's doing these press conferences, it's like, ask me a question about my job or my life, or ask me something controversial. Go for it.
Jared, do you think that the Titans are going to go 0-17 this year?
You know, I mean, I think it's one of those things where you just get excited for the start of a season. And a brand new season brings different challenges. And I think most teams, like the Titans, try to take it week by week. And I think that's probably the fun of the NFL, is that you never know what's going to happen one way or another. So I'm looking forward to this year. And I think that, you know, we've seen at times where the teams that put the work in and get better throughout the course of the year are usually the teams that are playing for a championship. So we'll just have to see how that goes.
That's fun. You said nothing.
Nothing.
You said so many words right there.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing got accomplished.
And that's what Downing does.
Well, you know, we wake up every single day and we got to work hard. We got to give it 100% on the field. We got to execute. You know, we got some playmakers out there and we're just really looking forward to the season.
All right. Just now ask me something really controversial about, like, say, people we work with.
Am I going to get in trouble for this?
Just ask whatever you want to ask. You can make it up.
Jared, I heard you yelling and screaming running down your street saying that Ryan Porth is the worst programming director that you have ever had. Your thoughts on that?
I think that, you know, normally there's a lot of things that happen as far as working at a radio station is concerned. I have an immense amount of respect for Ryan. You know, he's been the program director here for about 5 years now. And I remember the transition he made from when he was the executive producer of this show to being the program director here at the radio station. And I think that's a really tough task to make. And so I certainly think that a lot of people would have struggled in that position. And so I'm really proud of the growth Ryan's made.
Nothing.
Nothing.
You said nothing.
Nothing.
No confirmation.
I didn't tell you anything
denial.
That you didn't already know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell you anything new.
Stating facts and reacting to the fact.
I mean, the one thing that Todd Downing talked about today that I was like, I don't know about that, was he was talking about kind of like the great play callers he's been around. And he brought up Scott Linehan.
Mm-hmm.
And all I remember was when Scott Linehan was coach of the Rams and they practiced the Titans here. And apparently, and the Rams were terrible and the Titans mm-hmm. were 13-3 that year. And Keith Bullock, now I didn't see this, but I was told this happened. Keith Bullock went up to Linehan. Steven Jackson was holding out the running back of the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And Bullock said, you better get Steven Jackson in here right now because your team is a bunch of blanks. And told Linehan that. And I think Linehan got fired in the middle of that season. Linehan's been terrible. Terrible offensive coordinator of the Cowboys. Terrible. And he went to my college, so I'm, you know, kind of rooting
for
him.
Go Cardinals.
Terrible. Terrible. And he's talking about how, oh, yeah, Scott Linehan. And Scott, I'm like, dude, Scott Linehan sucks. I want to hear about Scott Linehan. Don't tell me that your influence is Scott Linehan.
But do you think he even believes that? Do you think that's even true?
But nobody ever sits there and says, hey, what's your inspiration for you getting into music? You know, I watched American Idol and William Hung, you know, when he did She Bangs, She Bangs. And Simon Cowell and those guys.
Lil Nas X really inspired me to get in and make some music.
Milli Vanilli was just the difference maker there. So, I mean, now I am, and I like Todd. I have no idea if the guy can coach. Zero clue. But, and we'll see the play calling and everything else. I think Tannehill's a real big part of this. Before anybody gets too worked up, I think Tannehill's a big part of what they're doing offensively. But I'm just sitting there. So what I told the group was, Vrabel's going to love this guy. He says nothing in these press conferences. And he does it with a smile on his face. And I said, he's a BSer.
I think he knows it, too. I think that's why he's smiling.
That's why I don't get worried about getting hot mic'd on stuff like that. Because I don't say anything that I don't just normally say. I think the thing about getting hot mic'd is when you say something that you don't want people to know that you said.
I think that we've learned that and a it's lot like from our friend Nick Castellanos.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, you know, I said it. 615-737-1025. Headlines with Caroline's next. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company delivered by TriStar Moving. The Titans have waived tight end Donnie Ernsberger.
Who?
Donnie Ernsberger.
You love him?
I don't know much about Donnie Ernsberger. I did
Guess
at
we're
one
about
point.
To learn.
I did at one point look down at like the third team practicing and I was like, who is that? And I saw Donnie Ernsberger. That's all I know. That's all I got for you.
Well, good. I'm excited about him.
Well, he's hurt now.
Oh,
they waved him.
Darn it.
They
no.
waved him. He's not on the team anymore.
No.
So you can't be excited. Good job, Todd Downing. Time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company. Right here on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ravens wide receiver Rashad Bateman left practice early today with a leg injury. He did not end up returning to practice later on. So, of course, that's the Ravens' first-round pick, wide receiver, in his rookie year. So he pulled up. He was running a slant route against Marcus Peters, fell to the ground, and then instantly grabbed his inside upper leg, like hamstring kind of area, walked off into the facility limping. And last week, he was dealing with a lot of tightness in his abs and his groin. So that left him out of practice for 3 days. So you can probably expect to see Rashad Bateman out for a few more with this leg injury.
That sounds to me like a pulled hamstring.
Yeah.
Or a groin or something like that.
Something that was irritated, that he and when irritated pulled, a little bit more.
Yeah, when it's pulled, I mean, I'd say questionable for the opener probably, because it's going to take you time to get back and then be in shape and the heat. But when it's a non-contact injury like that, when you hear grabbing a hamstring, is a lot better than grabbing a knee in a non-contact drill.
Right.
Or a non-contact injury. So,
a muscle thing is a much easier to rehabilitate.
But, I mean, think about this for Bateman. The guy practices for 2 weeks in the NFL. Lamar Jackson's on the COVID list. Lamar comes back. Now he's out. How's he going to build any chemistry with Lamar Jackson getting ready for the start of the season?
That's true.
And they are in a very highly competitive division. They have a very tough schedule. I mean, that is last year they got the easy teams. They got Dallas and Washington and Philly and the Giants. They got a tough schedule this year. I'd be worried about my first round pick if I were the Ravens. What's next?
Sam Ellinger, our friends over in Indianapolis, have a little quarterback battle going on with their backup quarterback. Sam Ellinger took first team reps in practice today. So head coach Frank Reich said Ellinger and Jacob Eason will continue to split time with the starters the rest of the week. Eason will eventually be the starter for the Colts' first preseason game on Sunday against Carolina. But Sam Ellinger making a little bit hard for Jacob Eason. And to this I say, wonderful. Great news for the Titans if Sam Ellinger is competing with Jacob Eason for the starting
spot.
Well,
we had talked about when I went down last week the Indianapolis radio rabbit hole, and the people that were covering practice were saying Ellinger was outperforming Jacob Eason.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, that's bad. Because I've seen DeShone Kizer, the third string quarterback. Mm-hmm. I've seen him go.
Well, not anymore.
I told you Logan Woodside was so clearly outperforming him. And so when you can see that kind of thing, that's not a good sign. And people try to say, well, Eason's going up against the number one defense and Ellinger's going up against the second and third team. I don't buy into that. I think you can tell when you're out there who's good and who's not.
Well, he was going up against the first team today.
I will just say it like this. Now, you were 3 years old at the time, but Ian remembers this. When Neil O'Donnell was the backup quarterback of the Titans and Steve McNair got hurt, do you think, Ian, at any point they gave Billy Volek or Kevin Daft reps with the first team instead of O'Donnell?
I wouldn't think so.
Hell no, they did not. That tells you all you need to know. In Philadelphia, do you think they gave Nate Sudfeld reps with the ones and told Nick Foles, hey, go sit on the bench?
Probably not.
I don't think so. So when you got Ellinger taking reps with the ones, that's a sign that there's a lot of trouble in Indianapolis. And I wonder what has to happen before they actually have to go get Nick Foles. I love everybody that acts like it's not a big deal to go get a quarterback who doesn't know your system. Like, oh, no, it's not a big deal. Like Corey Curtis coming on the show the other day saying, Marcus is better than Nick Foles, so go get Marcus. And even if he doesn't know the system, he can. Quarterback's hard, man.
And I agree with Corey at a certain point, but it's also August 10th, and we're a month away from the season actually starting. So if your starting quarterback is out and you're able to bring a guy in who may not know your system, he can learn it throughout months and throughout OTAs and throughout training camp.
By the time Marcus would know that offense, Carson Wentz would be back.
Yes. It's too late right now. It's too late. So you know, is it going to take a preseason game to see how Mellinger or to see how Jacob Eason starts in the first preseason game? If they're not thrilled, is that what it's going to take? Or are they just totally out on the idea because they don't want to upset crybaby Carson Wentz?
Probably a little bit of both. What's next?
So the Saints cornerback Patrick Robinson has decided to retire after 11 seasons. He was the Saints' first-round pick in 2010, began his career in New Orleans, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles in 2017, and then was back with the Saints after stints in Indianapolis. So the Saints cornerback group is a little bit iffy right now. Marshon Lattimore has solidified as their number one corner. Patrick Robinson was going to be that number two slot. So now they're stuck with a slot corner in Brian Poole, outside starting contenders Ken Crawley, Prince Amukamara, rookie Paul Sanatibo.
By the way, Amukamara sucks.
But that's what they're dealing with.
I mean, he sucks. He's been on every team in the league because he sucks.
That's what they're dealing with in New Orleans. So this is a big hit for the Saints defense. The Michael Thomas Saints drama is continuing to unfold. So not looking like a honeymoon over there in New Orleans.
You're a Saints fan.
Yes.
Do you have any hope in the Saints this season?
I already put down a good bit of money on New Orleans under 9 wins. So
I would feel pretty safe in that
regard. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Those are headlines with Caroline. Coming up next, training camps have started in college football. And there is one storyline that anybody who forces themselves to talk Vols, despite the fact that I think the excitement level for Vol fans is at almost an all-time low to enter a season. There are two stories surrounding the Vols, one that doesn't matter and one that I think does, but I'm not sure. We'll get to that next. Stoneman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.